think those who compile orders of service call a talk a homily when they wish it to be slightly shorter than a sermon, but we'll see how we go on that. You cannot fault St. Paul's logic in the last part of that little passage. How are we to call upon someone who we have not believed in? Well, we have to believe before we can do that. How are we to believe if we've never heard? How are we to hear unless somebody preaches or proclaims? And how are they to do that unless they are sent? There is a logic there to that little progression of the journey of faith, from being somebody being sent to proclaiming, others then hear, hearing, they have the opportunity to believe and to call upon the Lord. And that proclaiming, that preaching, which is mentioned at various points in that passage, is one of the elements which is integral to the call of those who are ordained. At his ordination services, first as a deacon and then as a priest, a presbyter, he may not recall every moment, Andrew will have heard various words said to him. Actually, quite a lot of words are said in those services about the content of the calling of those who are ordained to those ministries. I just have a little selection of them here, which are to do with that theme from that passage from Romans. Those who are called to be ordained ministers are to proclaim the gospel in word and deed, because they are to be heralds of God's kingdom. They are announcers, therefore. They are to preach the word in season and out of season. They are to proclaim the word of God. They are to lead God's people in that proclamation so that others may join them in proclaiming. They are to preach the word in season and out of season. They are to declare the mighty acts of God. They are to call their hearers to repentance. An awful lot of different words which are expressive of that strand of ministry, which is the calling to preach, to proclaim, to make things known, to speak the word of God, to speak the word of God. And that is a really important part of the ministry to which Andrew, together with Martin and others in this place, are called, and in which they share together that message of preaching the word of God. In other parts of life, we are perhaps less used than previous generations were to listening intently to people speaking for a reasonable length of time. We're used to a culture which is much more short, sharp communication of different kinds. And yet I dare to believe that there is still a place for the thoughtful and considered and well-formed and structured proclamation of the Word of God in a way which is about more than simply imparting information, though it includes that. It's more than teaching. It is seeking to express something and to enable people to change as a result of that. It is a particular form of speaking. It's a particular form of proclaiming, of talking, of addressing people, because it is seeking to express that which God is deemed to be saying, that which God has said in Scripture, that which God continues to say in and through the work of His Spirit among His people. And it's a very important part and dimension. That's why the ordination service, those who are to be ordained, are asked whether they will, as it were, give due time and attention to reading Holy Scripture, to their own learning and continual growth in the understanding of their faith as they study the Scriptures and other such things as will contribute to their deepening in understanding and knowledge and experience of faith. So there is that strand. But of course, we know that simply speaking is not where it ends, and our doing has to tie up with our speaking. Hence, there is that reference in the ordination service to proclaiming the gospel in both word and deed. And we know again from the teaching of Scripture in other places that those two have to hang together. That if our actions do not back up our words, that if our actions are not consonant with our words, then our words are devalued. Their power is diminished. So there's the proclamation by who we are and what we do, as well as in what we say. And all of that needs to hang together as a whole, not least in the ordained minister, in the person who is commissioned to preach and to proclaim. Thus it is that in the ordination service, there's a phrase which I rather like and find myself reflecting on quite a lot, which talks about the minister being somebody who is herself or himself to be formed by the word. Shaped by the word. God's word is to be that which shapes us. And of course, the shape which we are to take on as Christians, both as ministers and disciples, is the shape of Jesus himself. We are to pattern our lives according to his life. How do we find out about his life? We go to the scriptures to find out about his life. So the minister themselves, if they are to, as it were, be the instruments of God through the Spirit in helping the formation of other people's lives, their own lives need to be formed by the word. There's that sense in which you preach the sermon to yourself before you preach it to anybody else. Formed by the word, or another phrase from the ordination services, to seek nourishment from the scriptures on your own, but with others. Seek nourishment from the scriptures, studying them with God's people, says the ordination service. So there is that central strand which we affirmed today, which we've had from our reading about so preaching, so proclaiming that others may hear, that hearing they may believe and make their call to God. They may call on the Lord, they may make their response. In the ordination service, the preacher is to call their hearers to repentance, to make a change, to turn their lives around, to have that change of heart and mind, which enables them then to walk with God, to be followers in God's ways. At the ordination service, the person to be ordained is asked, will you lead Christ's people in proclaiming his glorious gospel so that the good news of salvation may be heard in every place? That's a phrase which echoes that passage in Romans chapter 10 very strongly. The work of salvation, which comes about through the proclaiming of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that particular calling of the ordained person, yes, to be the one who does that proclaiming himself or herself in their ministry and in their lives, but also leads other people that they also may be doing it. Because it is ultimately the work of the whole people of God to declare the mighty works of God, to proclaim the gospel in word and deed, that people may respond. So, Andrew, we are welcoming you today to come and be part of the community here, albeit not able to move house yet. We live in strange and dislocated times, but that will come. And to be here as one of those who is called to the proclamation of the gospel in this place. Yourself to take your part in the proclaiming of that gospel, yourself to be shaped by that gospel, but also to be one who enables others to share in that work of proclaiming the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, leading Christ's people in proclaiming his glorious gospel. It's our prayer and our hope that on the basis of all that has been done here in this part of Chatham over a good many decades in terms of the faithful proclamation of the gospel, that you now take your part in that story and respond to God's call. We believe it right for you to be here, to work with Martin and with other colleagues, to support the work here, both at Pip and Jim's and down in Chatham Town Centre as the church is re-established in that place with support from this place. And to have you here bringing your experience, bringing your particular understanding and experience of the gospel to share with God's people here, I think is of God and is what we mark and affirm today as we come to commission you for this work. So may it indeed be that the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ continues to be faithfully and fruitfully proclaimed in this place, as you come to share in ministry here.